One of the things that I find helpful about being a pastor is that each week when I prepare a message to share, I have to deal with the stuff first. So as I read the Bible and I read the text and I research, I have to wrestle with what it says to me first to be able to speak that out to you. Because I don't want to be a hypocrite, or at least I want to minimize that. And I'm not perfect in applying all of it, but it is definitely something that when I begin to sit down with a text in the Bible and I read the scripture, I have to, you know, think about, okay, what do I need to do with this? I'm going to tell other people this is God's word and encourage you to respond to it, but what do I got to do with this first? So sometimes if it's something like forgiveness or, you know, it might be challenging, but there's something to do about it, right? So I'm reading the word, and I need to respond to what it says. And so maybe I need to make a phone call or apologize to my spouse, or I need to do something differently or act on that. And, you know, so I'll take the appropriate action according to what I feel needs to happen. And so that I can stand up here with some level of integrity to be able to preach to you. However, this week, it is a little bit more challenging because to talk about the Holy Spirit doesn't give me a task. There is no task to do. You don't learn about the Holy Spirit and say, all right, okay, I'll do more of that. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity of God, with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is rather mysterious. Again, he's not concrete, and it's so tempting to say it. But really, it's not an it, it's a he or a she. It's a spirit. It doesn't have a gender. The Spirit of God is spirit. It is so other, and so it's really hard to... How do we grasp this spirit? But I realized that in preparation, there is no like phone call for me to make or apology or thing to change in behavior or work on. The Holy Spirit needs to be experienced. The Holy Spirit is God's active agent here on earth. It is how God works. It is God, or He is God, let's just say. He is God. The Spirit is God, but the Spirit also works. The Spirit wants to know you. The Spirit wants you to know Jesus. And so, early in the week, as I was preparing or thinking, I thought, oh, this is not quite the same. It's not a task to do. I need to make time and sort of sit in God's presence. I need to make time for God to speak to me. I need to make time for the Spirit to move in my life or to direct me, to show me what I need to do. So it's not as straightforward as forgive and you'll be forgiven. Okay, I need to go forgive someone or I need to ask for forgiveness. That's pretty clear instruction, but the Spirit is different. So I spent time. I just realized I needed to make time in my schedule to spend with God. Now, the Holy Spirit is a tough thing to talk about. We read the portion of Acts, which is really the beginning of the church, but the Holy Spirit is somewhat hard to understand. Even for those of us who've been studying for a long time, the Holy Spirit is not something like, okay, here's the 10 points of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work like that. The Spirit of God is mysterious. So as much as we would like to nail it down and be like, oh, yeah, I know this. I know the Spirit of God. There is a huge part of mystery involved. Now, it's kind of hard to know the Holy Spirit in some ways because there's not a whole lot written about the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God is present and it's referred to in a number of areas, But it's only referred to as holy twice. In the New Testament, God's Spirit is referred to as holy 90 times. That is one of its primary adjectives, descriptors, names, Holy Spirit. The other thing that makes it really challenging is that the Holy Spirit's job is to point to Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit never takes credit. The Holy Spirit never says, look at me, follow me, never really says, seek me. The Holy Spirit, the whole job of the Holy Spirit is to point to Jesus Christ, to what he said, to what he did, to the sacrifice he made on the cross, the salvation available through him. And so that's another reason why it's kind of tough to like nail down who is the Spirit, how does the Spirit work. We see some signs. Even Jesus described the Spirit as like the wind. And so that's the thing is, with the Spirit of God, because the Spirit doesn't have a gender, because the Spirit doesn't have a physical thing to touch or see, it just has to be described. What the Spirit does, it has to be described as, or what is the Spirit like? We have to use similes and metaphors and adjectives and descriptors to try to put some handles on the Spirit. What is the Spirit? Even Jesus said, the Spirit of God, it's like the wind. Like, you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. Now, because of this, churches interact with the Spirit of God in different ways. Some are very hands-off and kind of afraid. Be like, whoa, whoa. If we let God's Spirit in and God's Spirit starts to do things, we may lose control. Or he might not do things in the way we think he should do them. And I would say that's one of the defining characteristics of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit doesn't fit into a box. Which is part of why it's hard to know the Holy Spirit. Because he's not so easily defined and pinned down and said, no, this is it. Now, I will say that the Holy Spirit will not act contrary to the Scripture. But some of that has to do with how we would interpret the Scripture. When we look at the life of Jesus and all these things that Jesus did, the people who knew the Scriptures were always so upset because Jesus seemed to be breaking them all the time. Jesus is breaking the law, he's healing on the Sabbath, he's not washing his hands, he's doing all of these things that are breaking their laws, and they're freaking out. Yet, we know Jesus was without sin. So the Spirit of God does things sometimes to shake it up, to help us realize, like, hey, you don't have me all figured out. Thank the Lord. Because we'd all be really bored of God if we had him all figured out. Do you ever think of that? If you really understood God and all he is and all he has, you'd be like, well, I got him. Got there. And I'm only this age. Look at that. I'm good. Set for life. Just keep doing what I'm doing and we'll just cruise on into heaven. Like, what a boring life. There's always more to learn. There's more for God to do in your life, in my life, if we'll let him. So let me introduce him to you a little bit more. Another reason why it's difficult to understand the Holy Spirit, who he is, because the Scriptures give us different, sometimes almost competing descriptions of how he works. But what we do have is fairly clear kind of introduction in John chapters 14, 15, and 16. There's a lot of elements there, so I'll just go over a few of them. First off, the name that Jesus uses for the Spirit is Counselor. Or your Bible might say Advocate. Or it might say Helper. But this is kind of what Jesus uses as a name for the Holy Spirit in John chapters 14, 15, and 16. The Bible says, the Spirit will dwell with us forever. He will dwell with and be in you. So those who have come to know Jesus, who have submitted their life to Jesus and accepted his forgiveness of their sins and repented, the Spirit will dwell in us forever and will dwell with and be in us. The Spirit will teach us all things and will remind us of what Jesus has said. So there'll be times that if we've read God's word, that the Spirit might bring that to mind, a scripture verse. It'll be like, He will remind us of what Jesus said and what God has said in the word. The Spirit bears witness about Jesus. The Spirit convicts the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, again, this is part of the key element of the Holy Spirit, is the part that says holy. This is God's Spirit, but the Spirit of God is holy, and part of His big work in the lives of believers is to make us holy. The Holy Spirit purifies us. As you come to know Jesus Christ. So I understand if you are not a Christian, if you don't know Jesus, then this might be a little bit over your head, or you know, it's, you can just listen in, and that's fine. But for those who do know Jesus, the Spirit of God dwells within you, and the Spirit of God will work to refine you. He works to refine us. And that's why one of the images is fire. As we read in Acts chapter 2 at the very beginning, the Holy Spirit came down and there was a sound of like a rushing wind. And there was this image like tongues of fire that seemed to hover over their heads. Again, kind of a weird image. We've probably never had any experience with that. But this idea of fire, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, that the idea is that fire refines. That when you put a piece of metal, of gold, or something that's been mined, and you put it into the fire, it burns away the dross. It burns away the impurities, and what you're left with is the most pure of that metal. And so the Holy Spirit acts as God's fire sometimes in our lives to burn away the things that are not of Him. The sin that we have in our lives, the sin that maybe is even from a long time ago, and God sometimes gets in there and He says, I want to deal with that. I want to deal with that unforgiveness. I want to deal with that bad attitude. I want to deal with that cheating. I want to deal with the lying. I want to deal with the anger. I want to deal with the addiction. I want to deal with that. And so sometimes what makes it challenging for us to interact with the Holy Spirit is that we just don't want to. It's hard. It hurts. Fire burns. You can't burn away impurities in a nice way. Otherwise, it's not really working. And God, and that's challenging. It is really hard to submit to God when He wants to cleanse us. Because we like the idea of being clean, but we would just like to shower. Like, God, just give me the shower of the Holy Spirit. I don't want the fire of the Holy Spirit. Give me the shower. Holy Spirit shower. Rain down. No. God's image, now there's some images of water as well, and there's a purifying and a washing, like in baptism, so there's that too, but that's the nicer side. But really, when it comes down to it, you know, friends, the sin that we have in our lives, it stains pretty deep. Those stains don't come out with just water. They need to be burned out. We need to be purified by that Holy Spirit fire. Now, the thing is, God's not pushy. So it's really easy to miss. God, rarely, maybe if you're lucky enough, He'll grab you by the shirt collar and hang on. But God often allows you the choice, which makes it so easy to miss, because we don't like to be uncomfortable. I don't like to be uncomfortable. Maybe you do. Maybe you've got I have a really low pain tolerance. I hate pain. I really do a lot to avoid it. But if we want to grow in our walk with the Lord, if we want God to really use us and to change our lives, we have to kind of be willing to be have the courage to allow God to seek into our minds and into our hearts and to probe those depths and to burn away the impurities that are there. The Holy Spirit does that work. The Holy Spirit wants to make you holy. Wants to make me holy. This is a key part of our the Church of God tradition. It's called, we come from the stream of faith that is known as the holiness stream or a holiness tradition. And we deeply believe that when a person comes to know Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit comes within them and begins to transform our lives, to make us more like Jesus in how we speak and how we act, in how we think, how we treat others. And this is part of the sign that Jesus is real. And we say in one of our songs, "Let a holy life tell the gospel story." We want to do that. We want to let the Holy Spirit dwell in us and refine us and purify us and transform us so that people take notice. And you'll see that in the book of Acts. The reason it's so intriguing and fascinating to read this story is the Holy Spirit is so active and people take notice. Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost and thousands of people come to know Jesus. The other disciples that are preaching too, everyone in this whole crowd of thousands of people hears them in their own native language. There's part of the message here that God speaks your language, whatever it is. God speaks English. God speaks German. God speaks Portuguese. God speaks Afrikaans. God speaks Dutch. God speaks your language. He'll meet you where you are. But when he preached that message and he shared about Jesus Christ and how his death and resurrection paid the price for our sins, the people, it says, they were cut to the heart. It's a sharp image. They were cut to the heart. It means they heard the gospel, they heard about the forgiveness of their sins, and they were convicted because the Holy Spirit said, "You've got sin in your life. Repent. Turn and go the other way. Leave that behind." Oh, they were cut to the heart and they said, "What should we do? What should we do? Oh my gosh, we've sinned against God. We need forgiveness. What do we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized and be filled with the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is what begins to refine us and part of what I want to do is, if you've been a Jesus follower for some years, just remind us, hey friends, come back. Remember, there's a Holy Spirit here that wants to work in our lives. And we get so busy and we forget. And to be honest, I settle for too little. I get complacent. I get apathetic and I get, "Oh yeah, God's good. I read His Word, I go to church, I enjoy Christians and stuff." But we're busy. We're busy people, we have kids, we do things, we got to go to work, we got to address, we got to pay the bills, we got to do all these things. And we end up just running back and forth, doing life, thinking we're doing life, but we're missing out on a Holy Spirit. And on God who wants to meet with us and change us and help us to understand that life has a deeper depth and greater color and more to it. You can have better relationships with your spouse, with your family, with your neighbors. You can have better relationship with God. You can have holiness in your life. You don't have to sin. That's part of what the Holy Spirit can do, is it doesn't mean that you will never sin, but it means that you don't have to anymore. And unless we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, we don't have a choice. Sin is the default. It's the default setting. We have to. It's the only thing you know. Until you become spiritually alive. Again, weird term. What does that mean? Coming to know Jesus Christ. Born again means being born in our spirit. We were dead in our sin. And now we are alive in Christ. This is the whole idea of resurrection, that Jesus died. He physically died, paid the price for our sin, and he rose again. And this is what we can have in our lives spiritually. We are spiritually dead without Christ. But as we come to know him and say, oh my goodness, I have sin in my life. God, I need you to forgive me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die to pay for my sin. All of a sudden, we can experience the resurrection in our lives, that spiritually we become alive. We become alert. And the Spirit of God comes and lives in us and changes us. Friends, this is not a just do more good. See, that's walking in the flesh. That's a Bible term, but it means we're living on our own strength. When we just think, okay, I do believe in Jesus, and now I will try even harder to do good things. It's not a bad goal, but probably what you'll find is that you end up trying and then you fail. God, I'm not going to be as angry now. I'm going to make sure I'm not so angry. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, I mean, no, I said I'm going to try to be not so angry. We can't change ourselves. If we could, we wouldn't need God. We need God to change us. Again, and this is why it takes humility. The proud person cannot receive what the Holy Spirit wants to do because it means that you agree that you're not perfect. It means that you agree you're not complete or you don't know it all or that God might still have something he needs to do in your life. But if we think we're done and we're ready and we're like, no, I'm pretty good, thanks God, I'll take it from here. We kind of stop our growth. And we do, we get to those points in our Christian life. And that's where I want us, if you're at that point, I want to call you out of it today. To remind that the Holy Spirit is part of who God is. That he heals and counsels and teaches us things. That he has life to give. That he has a way of transforming us, of changing our attitudes, of changing our minds, of changing us to make us more like Christ. The Holy Spirit points to Jesus. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. The Holy Spirit draws us to God. But again, he's easy to miss. He's easy to miss because God can do whatever God wants to do. So I can't tell you even what God does or doesn't do in all this. But I will tell you this, that in my experience and in the experience I've heard from others, the Holy Spirit tends to be quiet and tends to be rather gentle. And if you are fast and loud and moving a lot, you will miss the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit might... And we're running another way. The Holy Spirit is often that way. I can't say always, because the Holy Spirit will do whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. He might have it out for you. You might have been running. There's a great poem called The Hound of Heaven. And this guy was running from God and tried everything. He tried drinking and tried sleeping around. He tried doing all these things to just get God out of his life. And the Holy Spirit just kept pursuing him. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't sin and enjoy it. That might be what the Holy Spirit's done in your life. Maybe he's ruined sin for you. Maybe, man, I used to enjoy sin. It was so good. I used to be able to just do all these things. I used to do what I want. I used to get drunk. I used to just, like, it never bothered me. But now, I always feel like guilty about it. Or I feel shame. God, the Holy Spirit's purpose is not to make you feel shame. But God will convict. The reason God convicts is to bring you to a different place, to bring refining, to prompt you to seek Him, to get cleansed. But we don't often want to endure the pain. It's hard to be told that we're not perfect. It's hard to dig into those things that God wants to carve out and cleanse us. One of the images Jesus uses in John is, I am the vine and you are the branches. The ones that bear fruit get pruned. We talked about this in our Bible study this week. What happens when you prune? You cut, right? Pruning is not just picking off dead leaves, right? There's cuts. There's cuts involved. Now, the dead branches, they get hacked off and they get thrown into the fire. But he said, the ones who are bearing fruit, so for even Christian, if you're following Jesus and you're doing well, that's great. But God wants to prune you so that you can bear more fruit, that you can reflect Jesus more accurately. And to be honest, we're never done until we leave this life. But here's where I want us to go. In Luke 11, Jesus is telling a story. And he tells a story about a friend that comes to visit the other friend at midnight and asks for 3 loaves of bread. He said, I had someone come from a journey. I have nothing to give him for food. So will you give me some food? 3 loaves of bread. And the guy says, look, don't bother me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Go away. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, but because of his impudence or his persistence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Now, here's the contrast. This is meant to contrast us and God. Jesus says, and I tell you, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if he asks for a fish, instead will give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Now here's the key. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Friends, I mean, if you've had a child, you know you want to give them good gifts. So if we who are imperfect, and even as Jesus labeled evil, I mean, it's kind of brash, but even you who are evil know how to give good gifts, how much more than your perfect Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And so, friends, this is where I want to stop with my sermon. And just telling you about the Holy Spirit. And I want to give you a chance to respond. I want to give you a chance to respond. And we'll have some music that plays quietly. And this is, we don't do this all the time, but the Spirit of God is working even today. He's showing you something in your life. I don't know what that is. But I want to invite people to come up. And they're going to play some music quietly. And I want to invite you to come up. And you can sit on the pew, one of these front ones. If you're over here, I can come and pray with you. If you're here in the middle, just you can sit or kneel and pray yourself. And we'll leave you alone. But I want you to think of two things. If God has been convicting you of sin, if the Holy Spirit has been showing you where you're not holy, then I would like you to respond and come up. I want you to respond. If God has been convicting you of a sin or an attitude or something you've done, don't leave today without coming and getting right. That feeling is the Holy Spirit. That feeling of conviction is the Holy Spirit telling you, come to me. I want to have a relationship. I want to make it right. I want you to be pure. I want you to be holy. So there is an element of repentance. And if you need to come for that, come for that. The second element why I want to invite is maybe you've been a Christian for a while maybe you really haven't understood this thing. This Holy Spirit thing is kind of weird. It's kind of mysterious. I don't know why. I don't know what. But God, if this is what you give, if this is what you have for the people who follow you, then I want it. That your word says, ask and you will receive. And it says that if we ask the Heavenly Father to give the Holy Spirit, He will give it. And so if you want to just ask God for the Holy Spirit, come. Now is the time. Can compare.